One for the treble, 10 for the bass. Come on, baby, let's rock with the bass.
Today is Saturday, May 16th. You're listening to the Down the Rabbit Hole podcast. I am the man, the myth, the legend in my own mind. You can call me Brian or Newman. I'll answer to both. And with me, as always, he's walked the pyramids through the sands of Egypt. He's eaten lizards on the beaches of Thailand. He's slung real Irish ale in real Irish pubs. International man of mystery and world famous, Joe High. How you doing, Joe?
You talking about me?
Was that an intro?
That was an intro. Slight correction, though.
Oh, what did I get wrong?
It wasn't Ireland, it was Scotland.
Ah, you know what? I was going back and forth, and I was like, nah, I think it's Ireland.
Is it Scottish or is it Irish?
Regardless, the greatest summer job ever.
Ever.
And you thought I forgot about those lizards in Thailand, didn't you?
Yeah, I thought you forgot about it. Yeah, that's funny. Yeah, the things we say and things won't come back to us.
And for all of our millions of listeners out there, I just want to clarify, I want to make sure that everyone knows that Joe and I, we are practicing social distancing.
about how much distance is between us? How many states?
Several.
Several.
So that's why I can guarantee that at no point during the show will we be closer than 6 feet. Guaranteed.
When was the last time we were closer than 6 feet? When was the last time we were 6 feet apart?
Oh, man. That had to have probably been... Would it have been at rock bottom? I think it might have been at rock bottom.
Yeah. And probably 2013 or 14.
Wow. Yeah, that sounds about right.
Wow.
Crazy, yeah.
So what are we talking about today, Mr. Newman?
Well, first, I want to know what you're drinking.
I am drinking, it's a vodka-infused tea.
Oh, I went through a phase. That's good.
Got this, a vodka-infused flavored tea. And I got some lemon, some lime juice in it. And it's good stuff. It's winning.
Let me ask you, did you make it or did you buy it?
Part of it was made already, but I added my own, extra little tea to it. Also added some lime juice and some, agave.
Excellent. Well, be careful. Sip it. Just sip it. We got an hour to go.
Yeah, I don't want to get sloppy.
All right, so...
And what are you drinking?
Oh, I'm drinking just some humble Coke Zero. I'm detoxing today. So...
Yeah, any flair, any lemon, any...
I have a bottle of vanilla sweetener that I just put a drop or two in, and... It's like my own vanilla Coke every day. It's great.
Nice. Very nice. Winning.
All right. So I think the first thing that I want to touch on today is a follow up from last week when we were talking about the Georgia murder.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think procedurally a whole lot has happened. I mean, I guess you know what. After we stopped recording, I believe it was announced that the two men were arrested. It only took two some months.
Yeah.
But then,
isn't that normal? I mean, anytime you run down.
Yeah. We'll get to you in a couple months. ridiculous. But so now that they're in the system, I guess everything's going to move like molasses. That's just the way it goes, I suppose.
They did one other thing. They appointed a prosecutor.
Okay. Now, last time you said that they were two prosecutors had recused themselves. Now, they've got one that's going to stick?
Yes. Okay. Actually, an African-American female. I should have gotten her name. Let me see if I can find that. It should be something that's relatively easy to find. But, yes, I think she was appointed like the day before yesterday.
Okay. Well, good. I guess the fact that the father had worked in the justice system, I guess it's good that they recused themselves. We certainly would not want to have just witnessed a complete farce.
Black Republican prosecutor appointed to originally charge Ahmaud Arbery case. And let me see if I can pull up her name. Joyette M. Holmes, a black woman, was appointed as the fourth prosecutor in the Ahmaud Arbery case.
Okay.
Hmm.
Well, here I'm wishing her. I'm hoping that she does justice to this case, because as you predicted. When we first talked about this, the character assassination for this kid is full effect.
Yeah, it's like he pissed somebody off, right? You know.
Yeah,
is the body cold yet? No, but you know, let's start throwing dirt on this guy. Let's see if we can find any dirt under his fingernails for this kid. I mean,
it's ridiculous and it's sad, but. If you look back at all these cases like this, it just happens. It's like just part of the playbook. And so apparently no matter what they say he's done, no matter what, he obviously deserved to get gunned down.
Yeah. I guess that's like a new rule 2020. Just like, hey, like, if you did something in the past, random men with guns can, run you down and shoot you.
One of my favorites is, he was just jogging 9 miles from home. Sure he was. Killing.
Where did you hear that 9 miles piece?
I shouldn't quote that as anything legit. I ventured into the sewers of the internet, and that would be comment sections of articles and whatnot. I'm sorry. Yeah, that's probably not being reported. I'm reporting the worst of the crap I hear.
So you heard that, but you haven't heard it from an authoritative source.
No.
I
hang my head. I hang my head in shame.
Shame.
Although it does illustrate how blatant racism can be on the internet. When people have this feeling of anonymity, they will say some horrible shit.
Yes.
And that's one of them. It was obvious, obviously, since he was 9 miles from home, obviously he was breaking into people's houses and deserved to get shot. And another one of my favorites is what was he doing attacking someone holding the shotgun? How dare he try to disarm the guy? Shoot him. He deserves to be shot. It's a lot of shit like that.
It's funny because I did some looking in some of the comment sections as well.
Ugh.
And somebody like, oh yeah, So who goes jogging in khaki shorts? I'm like, what? I mean, it's one of those things where like, it's like, yeah, I would have never think to look at the type of shorts he's wearing and then say, yeah, he could not have been simply just jogging. But
it's
apparently that, you know, speaking of the dirt under feet, speaking of looking for dirt under the fingernails, like some video had come forward where he'd shortly being shot, he had ventured into a construction site and was looking around and like, oh yeah, like, you know, this is, you know, proof that he was up to no good. And I mean, yeah. Then apparently that it was believed that, or it was said that he had brought a gun to school like 7 years ago. And
I heard that. I heard that.
And that, you know, it's just one of those things where, like, you know, it's a terrible state of affairs where the victim, the person who is dead on the ground and cold, is being pilloried like this, and the people and the murderers, the people who did it, I don't think I've seen anything about their histories, about, you know, about the McMichael Senior, about his
yes.
service record for the police report, for the police and prosecutor's office. I haven't seen any in-depth reporting on his record, you know, digging up any Bureau of Needs guys, anything like that. And it's just, you know, it's annoying, it's irritating, and it's to the point where it's become predictable. You said, like, I don't think I predicted it, but it's kind of like an established pattern. It's more like, not a prediction insofar as, in as much as it is a pattern recognition, so to speak.
Pattern, yeah, that's good, yeah. Did you watch the video of the construction site stuff?
Yes, it did.
Okay.
What I recall is him just putzing around. I myself may have done that before. Oh, construction, just putz around.
My bigger issue with it was, and maybe, I don't know, maybe I should have blown it up full screen or something, but I seen someone, but if I was to watch that video and then you put this guy in a lineup with a bunch of other people, I wouldn't know who it was. I mean, aside from the fact that there was a guy who walked around, walked into a building, walked out and left, how do you know that it was him? Could you tell from the video? Did I make a mistake?
All I can really discern is it was a black kid walking around a construction site.
Okay.
But I mean, it was put in front of me as this is him, and I never thought to even question it.
Yeah, I think there's more than one black person in Georgia.
Rumor has.
I don't know. I just question the legitimacy of the video. I mean, I don't. They're telling me that it was them, but you can't tell it was him from that video. And I don't want to see any movie magic bullshit where they're like, zoom in, and then, you know, every time they zoom in, pixels get better. No, that's not how it works.
That's not real life.
zoom in, and you're just looking at a bunch of muddy pixels. So I don't think that you can identify him from that video.
That's a good point to put your finger on that. Hey, how much of the information that we're given about any case really is stuff we just look at and just accept and never ever think the question? Just like me, like, oh yeah, you know, they said it was him. I guess it must be him. Good call, Mr. Newman.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Anything else we want to touch on that? Like I said, I think it's still just getting started now. We'll have to follow. Go ahead.
It's a moving target, and I get the feeling there's going to be, I mean, yeah. But, you know, like I said, moving target, this is just started, and we're going to learn more, and we'll have to come back and revisit it.
And we will follow it. We won't let this drop off the radar.
Deal.
Much like Epstein did not commit suicide, we will make sure that people we will make sure that people remember that this kid was murdered and did not deserve it.
Deal.
Yeah.
And it's funny you mentioned Epstein. it's like, yeah. He's like the Jewish version of OJ, you know, the person whose name is synonymous.
I don't think we ever talked about this, and this wasn't on our agenda to talk about today, but I just got to say, how crazy is it that when Epstein went to jail, everyone knew that he was going to die? It's like, it just, that was everyone, it was just like, everyone knew, they call it Arkansas or whatever, but everyone was like, he's going to die. And then for him to actually die under crazy, mysterious circumstances, how crazy was that? My mind was blown. I couldn't believe it.
Well, when you have an airplane and they call it, what, the Lolita Express, and you have people like, you know, Bill Clinton and, I mean, just heavy hitters, you know, people who, you know, powerful people, and you've got all this dirt on all these, you know, big wigs.
Yeah.
There's no way he was going to go to prison and come out, you know, alive. Yeah,
of course
he was going to die.
I know, but I just, it was like not even, they didn't even try to.
But yeah,
I don't know.
This guy, he's got the nervous and he's just going to die. We're not going to even, yeah, he hung himself. What did he hang himself with?
I thought that was funny. Totally off topic, but I wanted to throw that out there while I was thinking of it.
Good deal.
all right. And the other thing that I guess, moving, are we ready to move on?
Yeah, I'm ready.
I hate for us to keep talking about this because I hate it when other people keep talking about this, but
what is this?
This is the COVID-19 virus. the saga continues.
I've been calling it the CCP virus.
Oh. CCT?
P. Congress.
Oh.
Chinese Party. Yeah.
I like that. That's a, you're making a bold statement there, sir.
Yeah. No, we're part of the advance guard, but you do that.
Yes. I just go ahead. Yeah.
The reason I thought about that was I've been hearing it a lot. I'm like, yeah, that makes sense. And that, you know, apparently, the Chinese Communist Party government, they knew about it and covered it up for six weeks, and basically allowed it to spread all over the world. And so, I mean, it's one of those things, you break it, you own it. It's yours.
You know, I've never put a lot of thought into it. Like, I'm not a big fan of, you know, global organizations, but what are your thoughts on the WHO and they're apparently being, like, really, really close ties with China? You see anything to that? Are they complicit in some way of covering this up?
Yeah, they were bought. If I recall correctly, the chair guy, let me probably figure out his name. I know he's Ethiopian.
I can picture him. I don't know his name. I can picture the guy.
Yeah. He's from Ethiopia, and apparently the Chinese government, they're building some multi-million-dollar research development center in Ethiopia, and they've been buying off the WHO representatives and WHO officials for a long time, and that, like, it's, there've been reports that they purposely didn't declare it a worldwide pandemic earlier because they wanted to protect their paymasters in China. So yeah, I totally believe that. You know, this is China's baby, and the WHO helped, get it to where it is by just being negligent on the job, just not reporting, not, you know, not doing what they should have been doing. And I think the Trump is, you know, he's quick to be like, yeah, we're going to, you know, cut their funding. And in this case, I think it was appropriate because they dropped the ball.
So who got to Trump? Because the last thing I heard last night is he's considering reinstituting. I think he said that he wasn't going to start resume payments like the full amount, but up to the amount that China contributes or something like that. I don't know what exactly that meant, but what do you think? Did something happen? Did someone get to Trump or? And I think this happens a lot. A lot of times we look at things that Trump does and scratch our head, but I think a lot of what he does is just negotiation, and this might just be a step in negotiation. I don't know. I hate to think that he's going to back down to China, but it's, but like it was last night, they announced that he was going to possibly reconsider.
Well, it's funny. When I first heard that he was going to run for the presidency,
mm-hmm.
The very first thing I did is I went out to the library and I checked out his book,
The Art of the Deal.
Art of the Deal, and I read it, and that he talks about, you know, negotiating, how you got to, you know, keep the other guy off center, and so you got to do things that are going to, you know, shock and surprise, and keep his mind tiddling, so to speak. And so it would not surprise me if he says something outrageous, it's basically posturing for negotiation. It's like the pre-negotiation. So he's broadcasting to the world, hey, my stance is this extreme. This is my outpost, so to speak. And so
That's interesting that you read that. So you probably know more about Trump than anyone else that I know, just by reading that book. let me ask you.
Wait a minute. I think if you are a child of the 80s,
which we are, yeah,
you've literally grown up with this man on the TV screen since, you know, like from the time I was a kid. Trump, the name Trump means, you know, rich guy in New York.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So. I mean, I think we as a generation know of him and know about him.
Yeah, but you got it. But reading his book, I think. Let me ask you, just from reading this book, is there any? Does it explain any of why? Or maybe it's the fact that he's like 70 years old. But what is there any kind of rhyme or reason behind his simplistic speaking style?
It's funny, he doesn't use very many, I think so, but if you think about it, if you watch some of his older interviews,
I have,
he doesn't sound like the same guy. I've seen interviews from when he was 30, he's suave and, mm-hmm. you know, articulate, he spoke like the person he is, an East Coast elite who, you know,
yeah.
Went to all, you know, had the trappings of all the best things America has to offer. And so I think he's basically, you know, he's speaking to an audience. And he's speaking in a way that's, you know, not going to be confused. So I think it is very simplistic, but in that simplicity, you know, you can't, you know, there's no confusing what he's saying, if that makes sense. Which makes it, you know, exceedingly effective in my opinion.
I dig a lot of what he does, but I find it hard to listen to him talk. I'm like, oh man, he's going to tell something about how it's the likes of which we've never seen before. If he says that one more time, man, I'm going to lose it.
Yeah, or he'll add ly to a word that doesn't make sense, like bigly.
No, I think that's for Scott Adams. I think Scott Adams. That's funny.
Yeah, I think I've heard him say that before.
Did he really? Okay. Maybe Scott Adams stole it from him. Okay.
It's funny you associate that term with Scott Adams.
Well, I think that's the name of his last book, Win Bigly.
Win Bigly, yes.
Yeah.
But I think he got that from an actual speech.
Okay.
But we can go back and research.
Sure, yeah. Not a big deal. Just found it. found it funny.
But you were exercised about how they talk to us like kids.
Yeah, see, every morning I used to enjoy getting up in the morning and prepare my cup of coffee and turn on the local news, the local to Cincinnati, and listen to the mindless drivel that they have to say. But it was, you know, local, so I was mildly interesting. But it's just now, it's just everything is social distancing, and then you know, the governor of Ohio is going to allow this and this, and the governor of Kentucky is going to allow us to do this and this, and you listen to them, and it's just like they're, I feel like I'm a little kid being talked at. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Yeah, like I've been told that my entire life from my parents.
Thanks, Mom, and Governor DeWine. That's her name, right?
DeWine is Ohio. Beshear is Kentucky, I believe.
Beshear still down there in Kentucky?
Bashir's a Democrat who just – apparently the Kentucky governor before Bashir was just a real shithead. So this guy, I guess, took over pretty easily. I think he won pretty hands down.
But for some reason, I want to think that Bashir was the governor when I was down there. That's why I was surprised to hear that he's still the governor.
No, there was another governor before him. I don't know. I'll have to look that up. But anyway, so here's some – what I'm looking forward to is, you know, restaurants reopening. I just want to go and sit down and have someone serve me food. And it's not like this is going to affect me so much, but it's like you can't have groups larger than 10. You can go to restaurants when this is when they open up. You can go, but you can't be in groups larger than 10. Fine. But my favorite is that your group can only consist of family members.
What?
Yeah.
That's a little too much.
So apparently only people in Alabama are going to be able to actually go on dates. But
did not see that one coming.
Thank you for laughing. Thank you. if I was wait, I thought that was just going to fall flat, but
yeah. It would fall flat if you're in the link of Alabamians.
Alabamians, whatever. and again, and this is, I know I'm kind of scatterbrained here, but also I was running some numbers, and apparently, I'm the only one that this bothers. Tell me where I'm wrong here, Joe. I know I mentioned numbers last week, but in the U.S., I'm looking if in the U.S. as a total, there have been, as of yesterday, 81,729 deaths.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do the math for the population as of the 2019 count. That is 0.0002%.
Mm-hmm.
I did Kentucky. I won't read the numbers because they're boring. But I did Kentucky, Ohio, California, and Florida. The numbers all come out to 0.0001. Interestingly, D.C. and Michigan come out to 0.0005. But
0.005. That's 1,000.
Yeah. So they're just. Oh, and just for giggles, I did Montana, and that literally statistically comes out to zero. There's been 16 deaths in Montana, a little over a million residents, and it statistically came out to zero. So I know that. Every death is horrible, I guess, but not guess, it is. Every death is horrible. But look at the damage that we have done to this country for these numbers, and I just can't figure it out.
Well, the rationale is that, you know, had we not did what we did, in terms of shutting everything down, there would have been, you know, millions of people, you know, bodies in the streets, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're like, oh yeah, this is like, you know, not the Black Plague, but close, yeah. And so that's been the justification. And the thing is because we've done what we've done, we'll really never know if we had not done, what the outcome would be. So it's one of those things where they win either way. They, hey, you know, only 80,000 people have died, and that's a victory. Well, how do you know? Well, because only 80,000. We're predicting that it would have been much, 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 much worse had we not done this, and so they win either way.
That's a good, yeah, that's a...
But also, yeah. If you look at the people who have died, you know, a good portion of them are like, you know, old people who would probably end up dying, you know.
Yeah.
I don't want to say that, but
yeah, no,
not taking...
you don't like to talk about death like it's just a number, but at the end of the day, when you're looking at things like this, it is a number, and
yeah, it's a fact.
Yeah.
Death happens a lot more than anyone wants to admit to it. It's never pleasant, rarely appropriate, but you know, hey. Oh.
Yeah.
but you think, yeah, I know you've been like, someone needs to pay.
I think we can point out specific people, and there needs to be a punishment of some sort, because this is just, I believe that this is all negligence.
Negligence.
Yeah, that's the only term that came to me. There's another term I was searching for. There was another one I was searching for, but that's the only thing I could come up with.
Who would be number one or two on your list? Who deserves some? You know, who deserves to be taken to the woodshed, so to speak?
I would say number one would be that idiot in the UK who came up with all the flawed data models that all this started from.
Mm-hmm. So hopefully his name is discredited, and, you know, anytime he opens his mouth now, no one will listen.
Yeah, but apparently he's done this before. So he's done this with there was something else a few years ago, one of the others, it was SARS. I think he came out with like these really bad models for SARS and proved to be wrong then. And my question that I always ask is, how many times do experts get to be wrong before we stop calling them experts, you know?
Or just stop listening to them.
Or stop listening to them. And of course the big culprit is the media who echoes this and repeats it ad nauseum, and I think are really the ones responsible for ginning up any panic.
I remember when this COVID-19 stuff first started getting really hot, there did seem to be almost like, you know, yeah, it seemed like I was watching a lot of CNN, and they seemed, I don't want to say giddy at the prospect of having something to report that's going to, you know, be a story that's going to, you know, draw a lot of eyeballs that wasn't Trump.
Yeah.
I would say that, yeah.
It's like the Weather Channel. It's like the Weather Channel getting all giddy when the hurricane season
comes
around.
Yeah, exactly. Or, you know, it's finally coming. You know, it's one of those things where, like, if you're a reporter and something like this happened, your job just got 1,000 times easier, because instead of having to, like, you know, think of a story to write about, you have a story to write about.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
And so, I mean, I think a lot of it is driven by, you know, people who have a job. Their job is to produce, you know, produce content that's going to draw eyeballs. And holy crap, this whole COVID thing, this could fit the bill. We could ride this pony until summer, so to speak.
Yeah, and we know that the 24-hour, 7-day-a-week news networks, they live, this is kind of like their lifeblood.
Yeah.
Like, stuff like this.
If there's a war, famine, or anything else that's really bad, he's out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, speaking of experts, and, you know, I think experts, I mean, once you're an expert, you get to wear that badge for life. Like, you know, you get to ride on that until they put you in the ground. Because, I mean, just in the past few years, we've heard that, oh, you know, Trump can never win. Oh, you know, the stock market's going to be great. Oh, this whole COVID thing's going to, you know, kill everybody. I guess, you know, once you get to be an expert, you get to, you know, you get to wear that for life, and
I tend to agree. You mentioned CNN, and I had one other thing that I don't really necessarily want to talk about it. I mean, I have a few, but I found this absolutely hilarious, and it's CNN has just, I don't know what your thoughts are on CNN really, but I feel like they've just become a parody of themselves. I don't believe that there's any hints of objectivity on that network anymore. And every network's like that, I know. But I've seen this. They're holding a coronavirus panel, and did you see who's going to headline it?
I heard they have that little girl.
Greta Thunberg.
Yeah, how did you know, where did she come from? I just remember, you know, scrolling through my feet one day and some little girl, you know, having a temper tantrum at the UN, and like, oh, okay, cool. And then like, oh my goodness, there she is again. And then a few days ago, you know, she's on this panel, and like, what is she an expert in? How about she was mad about the whole global warming stuff?
Exactly. This reminds me of something that I wanted to talk to you about also. But before, I'll get there. But yeah, she, just like I said that, you know, like Joe Biden and Ruth Bader Ginsburg are like signs of elder abuse.
Well, I got that text from you. That made my morning. Thank you.
But I honestly believe that Greta here is she's a victim of child abuse. You being an international traveler, you've been all over. You've got a lot more world experience than I do. Let me give you an anecdotal observation that I have, and then I'll ask my question, and hopefully you can shed some light on something here. People in the rest of the world, mainly like the Europeans, the UK. I was listening. I don't listen to it anymore, but I was listening to a Linux podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the, and it was two British guys. They're from the UK, or they're from England, London. They were talking, and one of the British guys was asking the other one about a conference that he went to. He went to a Linux conference to speak, and it was in some other. It was like in, I think it might have even been in like Washington, in the States or something. And so his question was though, what? So you went to this conference. What do you think about your carbon footprint for flying there? And that just really struck me. And then it got
the whole question.
Yeah. But then it got me thinking, and I'm like, and it really got me paying attention. Cause once I heard that, I was like hypersensitive about stuff. And I just pay attention to the things that this guy said from then on. And then I watch a lot of my YouTube content that I watch, or I watch a lot of like YouTube car bloggers, you know, people who, and a lot of them are out of the UK as well. And I just, I've noticed a, I don't think trend is the right word, but it's like they are raised. It's like at least these last two generations of children are raised to be just absolutely terrified of global warming. Like they legitimately think that they're not going to live to see old age. They think that it's that scary. And they literally live their lives around that. Now, is that fair, or is that just, am I just seeing random incidents that just happen to line up like that?
I would say I remember when I first came in contact with the whole, like, you know, global warming thing. I was like 7 or 8 years old. I was in California, and for a young kid, oh my goodness, you know, global warming. Yeah, I mean, yeah, it was legitimately scary. But in terms of, I do think that over there, a lot of places in the world, you know, I think they take it a lot more seriously over there as well. So when was the last time anyone asked you about the carbon footprint you made when, you know, in driving your car from someplace, from one point to another? I don't know how to answer it. Even the question, what do you think about your carbon footprint in flying? Well, I mean, was there a less, you know, carbon intensive way to go from the UK to Washington than flying? You know, and was teleportation an option? No. I mean, why are you asking? I got to fly. I got to get there. So, I will say, yes, a lot of other places take this whole, and the other thing is, like, you know, especially, you know, places like England. England, it makes perfect sense that a place like England would take global warming and accompanying sea rise very seriously. They're an island nation. If the ocean rises, you know, 3 feet, okay, Miami and parts of Los Angeles are gone, but, you know, London's gone. I mean, the vast majority of Americans won't be affected too largely by, you know, a little bit of sea rise, but in the UK, you know, the country sank.
That begs the question, why all these rich people keep buying all this beachfront property if it's going to be washed away in a few years?
they probably, you know, have smart people working for them, and they realize it'll be washed away, but not in your lifetime. In your great-grandchild's lifetime.
Well, anyway, I think Greta grew up in a hyper, like, in that environment, but just, I think her parents are both are big activists, and I think she just grew up, but she never had a chance. This was going to be her life regardless. And we all know
that. What's wrong with her?
Well, I think she's on the spectrum. She's some degree on the spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
But as with anything, all you got to do is, once you involve children, it's hard to, if you're doing something for the children, it's hard to argue with that. So the people who eventually did start asking questions and say, why are we listening to this girl again? They ultimately got shouted down, but
person hates the kids.
Yeah. But I found it comical that they're going to bring her in to be the lead of this panel with other, I don't know who else was on the panel, but at least people that you could seem are somewhat credible. But anyway,
it's funny. I watched one of those town halls.
Yeah.
And this is, you know, it had Joe Biden on it.
Uh-oh.
And I swear to God, the more he talked, the worse he looked. It would have been better if they're like, yeah, let's just cut the commercial break so he can stop talking. I mean, it was
this
terrible.
This is like I really do feel like he shouldn't be, just for him, just for his, they need to do something. They need to get him out of there and put someone else in, because I really do, I feel bad watching him. I don't know what else to say. I say elder abuse, and it is kind of funny, but it's true. It'd be like,
get your old ass out there and sell the soap.
It'd be like me making, it'd be like me making my mom go work in the fields or something, you know. Go out there and pick weeds out of the garden, Mom. But I just wanna sit in here with my grandkids and drink tea and play with my grandchildren. No, get out there and pull weeds.
those weeds need pulling. And those kids are just too young and precious to pull them. But you get your old ass.
Yeah. It's just like, I'm sure Joe would rather be doing anything else but dealing with all this crap. And I have to think that unless she is just, and I know that to do those kinds of jobs, you got to be a special kind of person. And I know that I don't have that dedication, but I have to think that even Ruth Bader Ginsburg would rather be doing anything else but going and doing what she does all the time.
I think you're right. She is a special type of person, and she's one of those, like, you know, like those, you know, like almost got that missionary zeal type stuff going on. And her big thing is that she does not want to step down and allow President Trump to appoint the next Supreme Court justice. She would literally rather die in office than step down and allow that to happen. And so, in a real sense, you know, she's, you know, almost doing this against her will, because, you know, well, no, she's doing it for her, you know, she's not acting against her will, but, you know, yeah.
I get what you're saying. Yeah. Well, it's funny that you brought up, and I think that's going to lead us, almost perfect timing too. I think it's going to lead us into maybe the final, our little final segment here of just something a little more lighthearted. And,
we didn't talk about Flynn.
Did we not talk about Flynn?
We did not talk about, not during the show. We discussed him slightly briefly during the,
You're right. Well, call the stations and let them know we're going long.
Fair enough.
I don't think we have to talk about Flynn a lot. So let's talk about let's talk about him, but with the understanding that this story is far from over. Yeah, because I did want to get your thoughts on this. Is it looks like something that rarely happens is the Department of Justice decided that they were, I guess, withdrawing their charges against him, and as far as they're concerned, they want nothing to do with it. They just want to, like, let him go. And
like all this stuff just never happened, and just, you know, go on your merry way. And
yeah, and And you disagree. You think, if I'm wrong, don't let me put words in your mouth, but you don't agree with that. You don't think that it should happen. But, and if that's true, tell me. I'd like to get your thoughts on why you don't agree with that.
It's okay. So in my research, I basically started doing research on Michael Flynn from, you know, I basically went to Wikipedia, and then read some articles about him. Mm. And I'm not convinced that there's much of a real bear in terms of him actually doing something that was, you know, really, really bad. But what I do think is that he is a Democrat, and during his service, he pissed off a lot of, you know, top Democrats. He was kind of fired from the his job at running the Defense Intelligence Agency because he was not towing the line the Obama administration wanted him to. And I think on top of that, when he was on top of that, so he leaves the military. He, from there, you know, starts up a company, like, you know, Flynn Associates or something like that. And somehow he ends up in the orbit of Donald Trump, a Republican.
Okay.
And in 2016, he's the one that leads the chant and during the Republican convention about locking Hillary Clinton up. And so what I think really happened is that, you know, he's a Democrat that went off the reservation, and, you know, a lot of Democrats who were still on the reservation were trying to take him to task, and all this stuff happened, I think, while Comey was still the FBI director.
Mm-hmm.
So I think basically what happened is that, you know, he went off the reservation, and they've just been trying, you know, to mess with him ever since. Thankfully for Mr. Flynn, he's got a friend in the President of the United States, and he can make this type of stuff go away or get a pardon and stuff like that. So does that make sense?
Yes. Yeah, it does.
So,
but,
I mean, I think he's a slippery guy, but I'm not convinced that he was, you know, like, yeah, slippery guys are slippery, but not all slippery guys are just bad people. Slippery.
Right. So you don't necessarily think he deserves to be in jail?
Well, it seems as if he did. It seems as if he did lie to the FBI over some of his activities directly after the election in 2016 and before he officially took up his position. It seems as if he was engaging in helping determine foreign policy before he was actually sworn in as the National Security Advisor, and that's what they caught him lying on. And that's, you know, that's what got this whole ball rolling, so to speak.
Yeah.
In terms of things that are horrible on a scale of 1 to 10, what he did probably, you know, registers at a 3 at max. But, you know, people have gone to jail for much, 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 much less. A better way of putting it. There are people walking the streets now who've done much worse than he did.
Right, right. Do you think that he was, I don't know, set up to lie? I mean, as I understand, he didn't know that he was even really being interviewed. He just thought he was having a conversation. I mean, he didn't have lawyers present. He was just either. I can't imagine that they said, hey, you have the right to have an attorney present, and he was like, no, that's okay.
Yeah. And what's the moral of the story?
Never. Yeah, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, never talk to cops. Ever.
Yeah, never talk to cops. Yeah.
If a cop comes to you and says, you know, is your grilled cheese delicious? I don't know. Sorry, that's
right.
Too much. You know, just silence. Never talk to cops.
You know, I've been of that mindset for a long time, and I wonder, like, if right now some cops knocked on my door and they said, hey, we'd like to talk to you. Can we come in? Would I let them in? I don't think I would, but it's kind of you don't know how you'll react until you're actually, faced with it, you know?
Yeah, fair enough. And that's why you need to, like, you know, train yourself. Yeah. Talking to my lawyer. Make that as a mantra. That way, you know, when a guy with a badge knocks at your door, yeah, don't come in my house and talk to my lawyer. Send your questions to my lawyer. I'm under investigation? Great, talk to my lawyer. You just want to ask me a few questions? Great, talk to my lawyer. Send the questions in writing.
Yeah. I like it. So, well, that was, okay. That's actually, you know what? I did not know that he was a Democrat.
I didn't realize that either until I went through and did some research.
So,
but yeah, it seemed like some ink, you know, he scuffed some shoes, you know, scuffed the wrong shoes in the Democratic Party, and they've just been hounding him ever since. That's probably the best way of looking at it.
Interesting. Well, I suppose he'll turn out all right. I know that. Apparently he lost, you know, his life's fortune and everything, but I have a feeling he'll be okay. I have a feeling he's going to land on his feet.
Oh, yeah. At the very least, he's, you know, what, 20 million? You know, he's got a government, you know, he's a general. I mean,
yeah.
As a general, you make connections that don't, you know, just disappear like that.
Right. Okay. Well, good. I'm glad we squeezed that in. And so that gives us, we got plenty of time here. This would have been better going off of our previous segment, but anyway, I'm just going to read. This is just a head. This is the first paragraph of a headline that I've seen, and I think it just says it all. And this is appearing Thursday on MSNBC's The Last Word with host Lawrence O'Donnell. Former Vice President and presumptive Democrat nominee Joe Biden said he would not pardon President Donald Trump if elected to the White House.
What?
I don't know if they're still living in this pre-2016 bubble or if they just say this shit to say it, but it's just, yeah, he was asked, if you win presidency and we end up putting Trump in jail for crimes against humanity, do you promise you won't pardon him?
this is going to be sounding cynical, but part of the job description of being an American president in 2020 is, you know, hey, you've got to participate in some level of crimes against humanity. You don't get the drone strike, folks.
Yeah,
they all deserved it.
Yeah.
that's a crime against humanity. You just sit around, you know, chilling with your family, and unbeknownst to you, a drone 5 miles away just launched a missile. And hell, you could be sitting next door to their target, and still get jacked up. So that, you know, yeah, he probably should ask, "What's the crime?"
Right. That's funny. All right.
But oftentimes politicians say stupid stuff. It's in response to a dumb question they were asked, I think.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah, absolutely. So, anyway, that made me laugh. So I think we can wrap it up here. Not too bad for our second outing, I don't think. We'll see how it goes.
No, once again, my belief is if we have a beginning, middle, and an end, it's gonna get better from there. We'll get, you know, comfortable with a flow and develop a sweet spot of things that we're interested in and want to talk about and be halfway excited about.
I do want to say to our millions of listeners that we both realize that the sound is less than ideal, the sound quality. And I am going to be taking steps to try to fix that. So, Joe, I might be reaching out to you during the week to do different tests and whatnot.
Yeah.
But the content is here, and I don't think we sound horrible. But I do know we could sound better. But, yeah. We're just getting started. So, well, Joe, thank you for some of your time this Saturday afternoon. You got big plans this week, this weekend, tonight, date night.
Date night. No date.
Lockdown style. Date night. Lockdown style.
Yeah. No? Lockdown. Yeah, nothing planned. You?
Nope, nothing going on, man. All right, Joe, well, you take it easy, and we'll talk next time on the Down the Rabbit Hole podcast.
Later, guys.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.